Hello, everyone. So thank you for that introduction. I'm going to talk today about the repeal of Michigan's motorcycle helmet law and the effect on both helmet use among crash-involved riders and as well as fatal and non-fatal injuries as a result. First, I'd like to acknowledge the research team led by Dr. Bingham, and I don't have any financial disclosures or conflicts of interest. So just an overall picture of motorcycle crashes. There are just under 5,000 motorcycle crashes a year. This represents about 15% of all traffic fatalities. And in 2012, this was a little under, as I said, 5,000 fatalities and around 93,000 non-fatal injuries. Motorcyclists, by construction of the motorcycle, are about 26 times more likely to end up dying in a traffic crash than a passenger vehicle, and about 5 times more likely to be injured in a crash. And of note, and this will become more apparent as we get along, about 29% of fatally injured motorcyclists had elevated alcohol levels. So helmets are very effective prevention devices. Head injury is the leading cause of death and serious injury in motorcycle crashes, and unhelmeted motorcyclists that are involved in a crash have higher injury severity scores, higher head injury rates, higher fatality rates, an increased need for neurosurgical intervention, and prolonged hospital stays. And we know from prior literature that helmets reduce the fatality risk by around 42% and reduce the risk of head injury by 69%. Opponents of helmet laws often argue that they suspect that helmets actually increase the risk of other injuries, specifically neck injuries, but there's no evidence of this in the literature. So universal helmet laws have been shown to increase rider protection and ensure high usage rates. And the reason this becomes important at societal level is due to the costs associated with motorcycle crashes. So unhelmeted riders, while they represent about 36% of the crash-involved motorcyclist population, actually represent about 70% of the total costs associated with motorcycle crashes. Congress had mandated universal helmet laws as a condition of receiving federal highway funds up until 1975, and since then, states have begun to repeal universal helmet laws, citing personal freedom. And the result of this has been primarily that we've seen decreased helmet use and increased rates of head injury and fatality. Here's the current picture of universal helmet laws, and most have been replaced with partial helmet laws, or there's 3 states where there's no helmet law currently, and in total 31 states have repealed their universal helmet laws and replaced them with either partial or no helmet laws since 1975. So Michigan modified their helmet law in April of 2012 from a universal helmet law to a partial helmet law. And this meant that you were legally allowed to not wear a helmet if you were at least 21 years of age, carried a $20,000 extra rider on your medical insurance, and had a motorcycle license for at least 2 years or had passed an approved motorcycle safety course. So the objective of the talk today and our analysis was to look at the effect of this on rider helmet use among the crash population, as well as looking at fatal and non-fatal injuries. So to look at this, the data that we used was from the Michigan State Police crash record. So this is a census of all police-reported crashes that occur on public roadways. We looked at an equal period of time before and after the repeal of the helmet law. We included all 2- or 3-wheeled motorcycles and any that resulted in personal injury or property damage of greater than $1,000. And we excluded anything that wasn't, by definition, a motorcycle. We looked at a number of covariates, which will go through demographic data, rider position, helmet use, alcohol, speed limits, and then injury. Injury we primarily looked at using the CABCO scale, which is, I'm sure most people are aware, is an on-scene police-reported injury scale measuring injury from either K, serious fatality, or to property damage, which is an O. And fatalities are defined as any operator or passenger that died on scene or within 30 days of the traffic crash. And for this analysis, we defined serious injuries as those that were K or A injuries, incapacitating injuries. As I said, we looked at the time period before and after repeal of the helmet law, And we looked primarily at helmet use among the crash-involved population, and we looked at it by a number of covariates, and then we looked at fatal and serious injury rates and constructed a multivariate model to look at how helmet use contributed both to fatal and serious injury. So overall, looking at the results, motorcycle crashes have been relatively stable between 3 and 4,000 in Michigan on an annual basis. When we look at the crash-involved population before and after the repeal, it looks relatively similar with the exception of helmet use, which did decline significantly among crash-involved riders from what had been relatively stable at 97% to 74%. One thing that's interesting to note here is one of the arguments for repealing the helmet law was that it would increase tourism to the state. But among those riders who were involved in crashes, there was not a significant change in their registration. 92% were from Michigan. So looking at a monthly analysis of crash-involved helmet use, an interesting pattern sort of emerged. Prior to repeal of the helmet law, crash-involved helmet use stayed relatively stable at about 97%. But initially after the repeal, there was an immediate drop in helmet use among the crash-involved population, and it formed this sort of U-shaped pattern where the nadir was around the mid-summer months, and then helmet use increased in the fall months. And then we saw the same seasonal pattern emerge in the second season after repeal of the helmet law. The winter months are quite volatile, likely reflecting the small number of cases, but it was just sort of an interesting pattern that emerged among monthly helmet use. When we look at some of the differences in crash-involved helmet use patterns before and after repeal, we see males were less likely to wear their helmet after the repeal. Also, among different age categories, the most significant drop was among those over the age of 21, but despite the law only applying to those over the age of 21, we still saw decreases in helmet use among those that were less than 16 and between 16 and 20. In terms of vehicle registration and motorcycle license, those that didn't have a motorcycle license and those that were from out of state were less likely after the repeal to wear a helmet. And the most significant change was among those who were drinking and riding. So we saw the most significant drop in helmet use among those crash-involved riders who were also drinking riders, from 89% prior to the repeal to 46% after the repeal. And there was no difference noted in helmet use by rider position, either operator or passenger. So turning to look at injury outcomes, so this is the distribution of injuries by CABCO injury score, and we'll get into fatality rates in a minute, but just interesting to note that there seems to be a kind of non-significant trend towards an increase in disabling injuries in comparison to non-disabling injuries. Overall, so far, after 2 years of data, we have not seen a significant change in the overall fatality rate. But the fatality rate among non-helmeted riders was 2.7 times that of helmeted riders after the repeal. And the serious injury rate was about 1.5 times that of helmeted riders after the repeal. Interestingly, when we started to look at fatality rate differences between those who had a helmet and didn't have a helmet, as I said, after the repeal, there was no difference among non-helmet users. But among those who did wear a helmet, there appeared to be a decrease in the fatality rate. And when we look at the population of people who have had the biggest drop in helmet use, what we think is happening here is that there's been a shift of those high-risk riders who were largely drunk before and getting involved in fatal motorcycle crashes to now an unhelmeted group that's also getting involved in motorcycle crashes. And when we look at the regression model, we can see that helmet use did decrease both fatally crash risk and serious injury risk, while alcohol more than quadrupled the risk of a fatal crash and almost tripled the risk of a serious injury crash. And we applied the regression models to estimate the number of fatal and serious injuries if the helmet use among the 20 months in the post-modification period that we looked at would have been the same as the rate among the pre-modification period, which is 97%. We found that there would have been, directly as a result of helmet non-use, 48 fewer fatalities and 168 fewer serious injuries. There are some limitations to the study that we did. We used CABCO, which is a kind of crude injury scale. This is, data is not linked to hospital data, although that's something that our group is looking at now. In addition, these are only crash-involved riders, so we don't know what happened in terms of helmet use among the non-crash-involved rider population. That's also something that we're looking at by doing direct observations currently. But overall, what we saw is that there's less helmet use among the crash-involved rider population, that less helmet use disproportionately affects certain populations, male riders, out-of-state riders, those without a license endorsement, and drinking riders most significantly. And while there hasn't been an overall change in the crash fatality rate yet, additional years of data may end up showing us an effect on both fatal and serious injury rates. And universal helmet use would have prevented a significant number of fatalities and serious injuries. And with that, I'm all set. So we don't from this data. We are doing an observation data right now that's looking at actual helmet use among riders on the road. And as part of that, we're looking at type of helmet and whether it's an endorsed helmet or not. So I don't have that data for this presentation. The fatality rate and the serious injury rate will definitely, yeah. So we did. Last year we went up, after we had 1 year of repeal data, we went up and talked to the folks, and the sort of universal response that we got from legislators, we had a student who was doing, as part of their public health class, wanted to do, and it was an advocacy course, wanted to go up and take this issue on. So we went with them and presented the data, and the sort of universal response was they got more calls from the people who wanted the repeal than they did from people who didn't. As a result, they made that decision. So. Yeah, so that's certainly something we're interested in doing. We did apply, and I don't have those numbers here, but the National Safety Council has some cost estimates, too, that we can apply to.